The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So this morning, what I thought I would talk about, as best I can, I hope you can hear what you need to hear, and I hope I can say what you all need to hear. It's an exchange that goes on, but the wish is that the words will touch something that you need to hear. But I'm going to talk on offering merit. We did this wonderful transfer of merit ceremony, and I wanted to share some thoughts that I had on that, and in particular, that our practice and training are merit itself. And so it is something that we do not accumulate, but actually live each day, and it's there. So with that being said, I'll say a lot more words as I go along. Okay. I'd like to start out with the beautiful scripture that we sang this morning, Dedication of Merit. This will give you a clear idea of how we actually transmit or offer merit. We can do it at any time, in any place, with any surroundings that you encounter when that time comes. So it's a dedication of merit, and as I understand it, it's a translation from a Chinese scripture that was put to music by a Canadian singer, I think. It's her music, and one of the monks from the City of 10,000 Buddhas got together with her and put the words together and made this beautiful, beautiful song and beautiful words. So, the dedication of merit. May every living being, our minds as one and radiant with light, share the fruits of peace with hearts of goodness, luminous and bright. If people hear and see how hands and hearts can find in giving unity, may their minds awake to great compassion, wisdom to joy. May kindness find reward. May all who sorrow leave their grief and pain. May this boundless light break the darkness of their endless night. Because our hearts are one, this world of pain turns into paradise. May all become compassionate and wise. May all become compassionate and wise. And this is the deepest wish each one of us, whether we're fully aware of it or not, have. We want to be happy, compassionate, wise, and we want everyone else to be. And when we live in this very sorrowing world and see what's going on, we can do nothing really other than offer merit for our well-being and everyone else's. Yeah. So, the Buddhist practice of accumulating and transferring merit comes out of the understanding that there is valid or merit in our spiritual practices. When we come to the conclusion that life is not what we thought it was, or there must be more than what we are experiencing, or find ourselves in confusion and sorrow with no answers in near sight, we decide to do something about ourselves and possibly take up a spiritual practice as those of us who are here today are doing. As we cultivate our practice, we come to know there is great value and responsibility in taking up this or any other spiritual practice in our wish to bring more peace and contentment to ourselves and this world. And importantly, we begin to have faith in that value. And I would like to refer to that faith in that value as merit. We are creating merit simply by doing our practice. It is there. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to, I have faith in it. It simply is there. Through practice, it is a process of letting go of greed, hate, and delusion and turning toward love, compassion, and wisdom, which we discover is the stillness and silence within that is much greater than ourselves. We may have a name for it, we may not. But we know that. There's something within us that knows. This arises out of our choice to do less harm and move toward what is good with the intention of bringing peace and harmony into our lives and into our world that we happen to be living in this lifetime. There is something within that knows it is our purpose and responsibility to do this. Now, talking about merit and how I'm talking about it, I'd like to say some things about the teaching on karma, cause and effect. It states that every one of our intentional and volitional actions has a moral, in a secular sense, and a spiritual effect or result. Sometimes we talk about these results as good or bad. This can be misleading in that there are no judgments or opinions in the impersonal workings of the teachings of karma. There are simply results of the actions committed. There are actions which tend toward harm and or suffering, and there are actions that tend toward the peace and relief of suffering. And do keep in mind, this is just a very simple explanation. The Dharma points our intentions in the direction of doing good when we start to take refuge in the Dharma, and which is easing discomfort and doing as little harm as possible, otherwise toward the relief of suffering. So studying and practicing and putting into practice what the Dharma teaches, we are doing as little harm as we possibly can at any given moment. I talk about practice in this way as living nonviolently. A very difficult thing to do in our world. And that creates great merit in this world. So accumulation of merit in the context of our practice is the result of what we would call positive karma. In other words, good results, those actions that tend toward the relief or resolve of suffering. These acts can be those of kindness, acceptance, generosity, harmony, and etc. We could go on and on with the many practices that we engage in every day. These results are natural consequences which come back to us, sometimes seen and sometimes unseen, as a result of our positive intentions, thoughts, words, and deeds. As we continue to cultivate our practices, we begin to experience these positive karmic results throughout the day and begin to live from them. They're just part of who and what we are. In following the teachings in our own experience, we are consciously making choices to do as little harm as possible. And it begins to become habitual. And it is part of our everyday meditation practice. In training our mind naturally allows our thoughts to arise, whether experienced as positive or negative. This is in our meditation practice and even as we encounter things each moment, each day. We then either choose to act on those thoughts, ideas, etc., get involved with them, perpetuate them, or offer them up, letting them go within the stillness of our body and mind, which is an act of accepting them simply as they are, rather than continuing to indulge them in any way at all. This very simple act, which we do over and over while we live our meditation in daily life, is a natural meritorious act. we are choosing what we will follow, rather than just being led around by old habits. We are choosing not to perpetuate thoughts and activities that are going to manifest harm, either within ourselves or toward others. Along with the accrual of merit, we are also proving the teaching of the Buddha's teaching true for ourselves. We do not purposely do this training to gain merit. We do not purposely follow the path of Shakyamuni to gain merit. It simply comes. It's not like putting money into a bank. It's already here. We don't have to think about it. Just simply doing our practices throughout the day, it is there and being offered. The Dharma informs are guiding us to a life of nonviolence, of doing as little harm as possible, and learning to live in harmony. This is the offering of merit itself, and we become more at ease in this life that we are living and feeling more responsible for what we do. These practices and forms that we put into use in order to address the experience of discomfort and confusion in life are of the Soto Zen tradition here at Shasta Abbey. There's many of them around, and what we use here does the same work as they do with any other place at all. It can be other religions if people genuinely put their minds to doing the practice of letting go of the greed, hate, and delusion. Now, in the Soto Zen tradition, I would like to focus on two particular practices to bring this out, and I will leave it to you to gather what you need as to how valuable these practices are in creating merit. One is on the practice of meditation. We refer to that as, it can be called, in our tradition, can be called just sitting, Zazen, Shikantaza, or we call it often, and there's, I think maybe some of you have seen, especially the new people, they probably showed you this book, Serene Reflection Meditation. Now, when we begin to do our sitting meditation practice, we are instructed to sit upright and straight with dignity and care. This is our physical posture. We are setting ourselves up for the mind of meditation. And just taking that posture is a transfer of merit. If you see a photo, it's interesting, if you see a photo, and I think many of you have, of a monk or a lay person sitting in their meditation posture, it does say something to you. There is peace, ease, and contentment there. Now, that isn't always the case when you're working, you know, sitting there in meditation because you're practicing. But you take the position of it. You sit, like one of the monks have called it, sitting like Buddha, that which is awake. And now what I'd like to do, within this posture, there is the mind of meditation. And there's a few words I'd like to read from this book about that mind of meditation and how it brings forth the merit that the practice has for ourselves and for us to pass on to others. First is a statement here by great master Keizan Jokin that I'd like to recite. Pure meditation opens us so that we may directly realize the foundations of our minds and dwell content within our own Buddha nature. Buddha nature, that which is within us, that is very natural and has always been there, awake, aware, and at ease in the stillness of our hearts. Serene reflection is a method of meditation that can be summarized as just sitting. To just sit still is the simplest of all activities, and yet within it we obstruct ourselves with all manner of unnecessary complexities. The essence of serene reflection meditation is to simply be without adding anything or taking anything away. It is based on the fundamental teaching of the Mahayana tradition that the Buddha nature is the foundation of our being. You walk in the door with it, you're born with it, it's here already. It gets covered up, obscured. And we don't have the clouds like we used to, but there's clouds in the clear sky. It's there. The Buddha nature is the source of all compassion, love, and wisdom. It is the place from which real love flows out to all without distinguishing one from another. There's no discrimination. It is this love we all seek, for the ability to give and receive this love is the ability to know perfection, or that what River Master Jiu called pure, that which is holy, pure, and empty. And yet it is of everything. It is the experience of true peace, like returning to your true home. The Buddha nature is not something that exists inside of us like a soul, nor is it something external and apart from us like a god. It is all of existence, for it rejects nothing. Infinite compassion, love, and wisdom are the characteristics by which we recognize it, but also it embraces that what we regard as negative within ourselves and the world around us. Nothing is left out of that loving embrace. The Buddha nature is enlightenment itself, and since it embraces all of existence, it includes us. One of the most important things I can say, pass on right here, and it's great merit for this entire universe, is that know that you already have it. Relax into it. Do not doubt it. It will have a great impact on your practice and how you're able to walk in the world. We are not separate from enlightenment, but we have mistaken where our true refuge lies. Instead of trusting the Buddha nature, that which is in tune with all of existence, we take refuge in an illusory sense of self. I was dealing with that a little bit this morning. And I said, would you please step aside? So, a self that is fundamentally at war with all of existence. I can attest to that. Serene reflection meditation is the means we have of healing the rift we have created between ourselves and the Buddha nature. Enlightenment is inherent within every one of us. But to know that enlightenment, we have to look towards it for our refuge and cease to involve ourselves with greed, hate, and delusion. And that's what I've been talking about. This is the manifestation of merit in our lives and why in the Buddhist tradition we are transmitting merit continuously. And you've been here, the newer people have been here long enough to realize that in our offertories, in our verses that you chanted or said, there's always, may all beings be well, may they receive what they need. We offer this for the benefit of all beings. What Reverend Master Daishin said, there's always the offering of the ceremony or whatever we're doing, how we're living or whatever it happens to be, we are offering it for the benefit of all beings in all worlds. So our meditation practice, that very simple thing that we do, it's a very simple practice, but very difficult to do, is an example of actually creating, accruing merit and transmitting it right in that very activity. Now, the other teaching in the Soto Zen tradition that I wanted to focus on, and again, I'm going to do a little bit of reading, but it's on this very, very important subject of the Bodhisattva precepts. The meditation and the precepts are are very important guidelines in our life of in taking up the sotos in practice or Buddhism. Take on these as guidelines as to how you're going to live. And again, I'll go back to that phrase. It is the beautiful way of living nonviolently within yourself and other beings. While at first glance, the precepts can appear to be rigid rules. Oh, and excuse me, that first piece I was reading was from Reverend Master Daishin Morgan, who's the abbot over at Throstle Hole in England. And this piece is from the late Reverend Master Daisui McPhillamy, who was the head of the order after Reverend Master Jiu died. While at first glance, precepts can appear to be rigid rules of conventional morality, in effect, they are guides to liberation. Taken as descriptions of enlightened behavior rather than simply as proscriptions against evil or harmful acts, they lead to the signs of wisdom, charity, tenderness, benevolence, and empathy, rather than to guilt, shame, or self-blame. Those who make a life of right speech, action, and livelihood find that they become more aware of their own spiritual heart. Those who ignore them find that a coarsening and closing off occurs, both in their spiritual life and in relationships to other people. So there are the three treasures precepts, the three refuges. I take refuge in the Buddha. I entrust my life to the guidance of both the Buddhas who have appeared in this world and the Buddha nature within. I take refuge in the Dharma. I go for direction to the teachings of all those who have walked this way before me. And within the context of Buddhism, that's 2,500 years. It's a long time. I take refuge in the Sangha. I seek the advice and wise counsel of those who share the love of truth and commitment to Shakyamuni Buddha's Eightfold Path. The three pure precepts. I will cease from evil or doing harm or being violent. First and foremost, it is my wish to harm no living thing. I will ask in the innermost place of my heart, is what I am about to do a harmful thing? A thing that places any separation between a being and the unborn? Is it a thing which is to be abstained from, a wrongful thing or an unwise thing? In one sense, evil does not exist. There are only unwise, harmful actions done in ignorance and confusion. I pray that I may not do such anything as this, whether to myself, to others, and the world. This in itself is a transfer of merit. I will do only good. It is my sincere wish to do only that which accords with the truth. Again, I will ask in the innermost place of my heart, is what I am about to do fitting, suitable, a thing to be done? Does it tend toward liberation? This is the good that goes beyond the opposites of good and evil. And I will do good for others. I pray that my every act will be of the true benefit, and that I may never inadvertently create conditions which may lead others to do harm. The 10 great precepts. Now, these are the details many of us already know. And they reflect to me living meritoriously by using them as our guidelines. I will refrain from killing. Since all beings are one within the Buddha mind, how could I willingly cut off the life of any creature? I will refrain from stealing. Since it is my true wish to give up all attachments, how could I willingly grasp after anything which is not freely given? I will refrain from abusing sexuality. Since physical affection is a deep expression of love, and love is an aspect of the unborn Buddha nature, how could I willingly debase this sacred love by merely gratifying my desires in a way which uses, harms, betrays, or abuses anyone? I will refrain from speaking untruthfully. Since my heart's desire is to be one with truth, how could I willingly deceive anyone by any means whatsoever? I will refrain from selling the wine of delusion. Since clear awareness is the door to enlightenment, how could I willingly hinder the way for anyone by enticing them to partake in substances, ideologies, false beliefs, or anything whatsoever that befuddles or intoxicates? I will refrain from speaking against others. Since it is my wish to live by the compassion within my heart, how could I willingly speak hurtfully or disparagingly about anyone? I will refrain from being proud of myself and belittling others. Since the false notion of self is the very thing I seek to abandon, how could I willingly inflate it with pride, much less do so through the seeking the to denigrate others? I will refrain from holding back in giving either dharma or wealth. Since charity is the first sign of enlightened action, how could I practice stinginess in any form whatsoever? And I will refrain from indulging anger, since it is my heart's wish to let the love within it flow forth unboundedly. How could I hold on to and nourish angers and resentments which may arise, much less act openly upon them to cause harm? I will refrain from defaming the three treasures. Since these are my true refuge in the very way, how could I turn from them myself, much less cause doubt about them to arise in others? This is living the life of merit, following, taking the precepts and following them as one's way of life. And is of benefit not only to ourselves, we receive the benefits, but to everyone around us and in this world where there is so much violence and so much hatred and greed, just because we don't know better. And some of us begin to question that and begin to look for ways to do better. And this is one of the ways we can. Great merit is involved. All right. Now, another way of accruing merit that came to my mind as I was thinking about it is cultivating, and it's been mentioned before, but not too much said about it, in cultivating the spirit of generosity, which we refer to as dana in the Buddhist tradition. That is, giving of ourselves spiritually and materially. We generously offer to the Sangha not only spiritual gifts, but material gifts. All of us do this. The physical, material support that all of you offer to the monks, monasteries, priories, and to each other, this is what allows us all to survive and offer the Dharma, and actually allows, historically, it has kept the Dharma going, the support from the laity for the monastic Sangha. It is called the fourfold Sangha. When you speak the word Sangha, it means fourfold, where there's male and female laity and male and female monastics. And I've seen it written about as an exchange. The laity support the monastic communities, and the monastic communities support the laity through dharma and their own practice and encouraging and inspiring people in their own practice. It's a refuge for all of us. It goes back and forth. Now, these offerings that are made can be gifts in kind, gifts of money, food, or time helping out with building projects, decorating the temples, or practical things like preparing food, cleaning bathrooms, assisting with retreats, and etc. These thoughtful acts of generosity, too, are ways of accumulating merit. And again, we don't think that's what we're doing. Then it kind of gets burdens into a bank account. And that's not what merit is about. Well, you can still use it. I don't want to completely say no. And it is a way that allows the Dharma to flourish, and which it has continued to do and will continue to do after we are all gone into other places, other worlds, and etc. Through these gifts, the monastics are able to dedicate their lives to the practice and offering Dharma, with the intention of assisting all beings in realizing the truth, awakening to that which is, just like you saw this ceremony this morning. We do them daily, and so many of our verses refer to offering merit. So many of the offertories are referring to offering merit. Any merit accumulated here from you all and ourselves are being offered to everyone else in this world. In many worlds, I don't know how many. Okay. So one last thought I would like to offer on transferring merit is requesting a transfer of merit. Here at the monastery, we receive many requests for those who are in distress, are very sick, for animals who are not well and possibly dying or dead. There may be requests for those who have died that the person may not know, someone they have heard about in the news or in other ways. Reverend Master Daishin was this morning mentioning, I forget how many people died on London Bridge this morning, because 7. So we hear about these things and we will offer merit when we hear about them. Yeah. And let's see. We've heard on the news or in other ways. Also, our family members, our neighbors, our friends, too, are considered and transferring merit for them are requested. Or you can do it yourself wherever you are. And when you when someone requests a transfer of merit here at the monastery, I can tell you a little bit about that. That goes for the monks to see. And before going to meditation, many of us stop by and look at the transfer of merit board and to see who or what is there or what condition has happened. And those and the merit for our practice that day is offered. And so these things are done individually and holy, if you know what I mean, completely. And just that they appear on the board, someone has actually requested that. That merit is being transferred already. Yeah. So also there are requests for things that people are grateful for. A friend has recovered from a serious illness, someone was able to get a job, and another way maybe a new child was born into this world. May it find peace and contentment amidst all the chaos that we know it will experience. Yeah. We receive these requests in many different ways. It can be a phone call, a letter, in a conversation with someone, or an email. Or you yourselves, you can talk to your friends or your family, etc., and ask them to remember someone or something that you are finding would be helpful for someone to have. No matter how it comes our way, we post these requests and remember them during our formal meditation practice. And there are lists like we had today that was read during the ceremony. They would be read publicly. Again, offering merit for those beings that are having difficulties. And some things are not so difficult. It goes both ways. We are grateful. Merit is an expression of gratitude also. And I don't like to forget that piece. So, merit is unlimited and can be offered to any and all. Many, many things make up life in all of its goodness and sorrow. As the scripture says, birth and death are grave events. Within the tradition of Soto Zen, we are all invited to respectfully remember these life occasions that are happening around us, for good or for ill, for sorrow, grief, whatever it happens to be. Honor them when they occur in our lives and pass on our wish that spiritually these events and beings will be at peace and find the silence of their heart, content within. May all beings in all worlds be at peace and content. We say this so many times throughout the day when we're reading the scriptures or doing ceremonies. You can do this in your own practice of meditation, taking time to offer merit to any and all around you who are experiencing difficulties, or express gratitude for what good has come your way or someone else. And I know many people that have lists that they remember every night before they go to bed, lists of people and or events that are going on in the world that they'd like to remember. Okay, I think that's all I have for today. I thank you for being here, for your practice, and for the merit being generated. This sorrowing world can use it, and we can do that by sitting upright, dignified, joyfully, with a kind heart, and kind words to anyone and anything that we encounter, including our critters. Thank you.